Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Merkel Media.
I guess it's time to go back in time.
Are you telling me you built a time machine? Out of a DeLorean?
Time is but a stubborn illusion.
I have a lot of memories of the past.
People are time traveling within themselves.
Time travel is possible.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. Well, the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand and he's running really fast and spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Hello, Tony.
No, not yet, not yet. When the intro is done playing, I'll come in and I'll introduce you.
Fine.
I feel something pulling at my leg, and I look over, and there are two small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reach my hand into this bush, and I touch air. Couldn't breathe, and I couldn't move, because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Okay, I'll reload it!
Okay, today we have a special guest, Terry Carnation, sir, of Dark Air. How are you?
Hello, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing well. And I'm really excited to talk to you because I get the chance to ask some pearls of wisdom when it comes to broadcasting, especially along the lines of paranormal. How long have you been doing it?
I have been in the broadcasting game 32 years,
jeez,
young Tony. And are you attempting to steal some industry secrets from me? You want some pointers? I don't think so, because you frankly are the competition.
Oh man, I was hoping I could get some pearls of wisdom from you and stuff. But if we're not going to break that can of worms, that's fine with me. Now I just found out that you are coming back to the airwaves after a long absence.
Yes.
How has that transition been for you? I mean, has it been difficult going from the whole AM/FM radio game to the podcast game?
Well, excellent question. Thank you for asking. Yes, I have been host of Dark Air, AM radio's top paranormal call-in show. We record in Los Angeles, but of course we telecast, as they say, all across the nation and all across the world. We have fans in pretty much every country, except Bulgaria. For some reason, the Bulgarians, not a fan of Terry Carnation. But we do what we can. As you know, Tony, I went through some dark years. I lost my wife, Zelan, under dubious, mysterious circumstances. And I went through a dark and clouded time, a chaotic time in my brain and in my bloodstream.
What do you mean by your bloodstream?
Well, I went I sought to go on a personal spiritual journey vis-a-vis the portals that were opened in my mind, having to do with ayahuasca. And this was in the jungles of Peru. And, well, I became, you know, I would say I found myself, but in actuality, I was found by the Peruvian military 3 months later. I have very few memories of that time. It was incredibly painful. I didn't have shoes. It was also emotionally painful. Apparently, I was discovered in a cave eating bat meat by the Peruvian military. Fortunately, they had sent out a search party. I wandered away from the ayahuasca ceremony. Of course, it begins with an intensive bout of vomiting. And then I saw angels, then I saw devils, and then I saw some combination of the two, and another angels, I don't know what you'd call them. And I became very scared, and I just started to run, and I ran as far as my barefoot feet could take me in the Andes Mountains. But eventually I was found, and here we are having a nice little chitty chat.
Wow, so that whole experience leads you to coming back to the whole paranormal talk radio and stuff. How'd you get involved in the paranormal talk? I mean, did you have a personal experience, or how'd that whole thing start for you with interest?
Well, I did, Tony. It happened on a couple of different levels. If we're going way, way back, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the movie Ghost Dad with Bill Cosby.
Actually, I am not. I'm not much of a movie buff.
Well, Ghost Dad, 1989, is a classic by him who shall not be named. No, yes. I'm not talking about Voldemort. I'm talking about Bill Cosby. And, you know, the title says it all. He was a dad and he was a ghost. Enchanting. Well, I, Tony, was raised by a ghost mom.
Really?
Yes, I was raised by a spectral mother. She left me and my father when I was about 4 or 5 years old, with a specialty carpet cleaning professional. And apparently she passed away out on the road with him. Nothing to do with vacuum cleaners or shampooers or anything like that. I'm not sure what the circumstances were. But all of a sudden, I found myself one day making myself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich after school. And there she was. She appeared to me and stood at my side. And she said, I know I've been gone, but I want to be in your life. I want to be your mother. I'm on the other side, but that doesn't mean that we can't be close and that we can't communicate. And we can't hug. Hugging is challenging with the spectral. It's not very tangible, Tony. But the idea was just beautiful. And we laughed. Oh, we had such a good time together. We laughed. We chortled. And she took over making the sandwich from me right then and there. And I was like, oh, this is what it feels like to have a mother. Now, of course, she couldn't make the sandwich because she had ghost hands. She couldn't pick up the knife, but she was lovely. And, you know, Dr. Schneiderman, the neighbors, everyone thought, oh, this kid is delusional. You know, he's making up imaginary friends. My father was very concerned. I went to see Dr. Schneiderman for many years, but I know, and at the end of the day, I think you, Tony, I think your listeners know that this was true. And I developed a very intimate rapport with my mother while she was behind the veil, so to speak.
Wow. Well, I guess you don't have to worry about a lot of things that other people have to worry about. I mean, losing a mother, your mother's going to be with you for the rest of your life, right?
She is still with me right... What? No, I'm on it right now. I'm recording right now. Yeah. No. Yeah, grape jelly's fine. She's with me all the time. And... frankly, it's a bit much.
I understand. It seems like she interrupts sometimes.
Indeed, she does.
So on your show then, I mean, since you have this past with, you know, growing up with a mother like yours, do you ever come across stories on your show that kind of catch you off guard? Because, I mean, your life story and history is pretty unique.
Mm. Yes, I've heard dozens of stories, hundreds of stories that have... quite frankly, sent me reeling. Occasionally, someone calls in claiming to be me from the future. And they sound just like me, Tony. It just sounds like old Terry with a little bit of static interference. And he claims to know what is going to happen to me. I keep asking him for stock tips, but of course he won't budge on that. But we've had time travelers, many time travelers. I guess, you know, what I try and do, and like you, I'm just, I'm a lubricant that one can rub all over a conversation. So we're having a conversation. You just spritz me all over that conversation and then just get it nice and just wet and lubed up and moving forward, back and forth and in and out. And that's fine. And that's, but also what I am is I am a point of solace for many listeners. We had a young woman call in the other day and her boyfriend was a werewolf and she wasn't sure whether to marry him or not. She wasn't sure whether she could have children with him. I mean, we don't know in the lupine world how do those genes get passed down? I mean, there's some fundamentally kind of bizarre, challenging, and arresting questions that come with the paranormal.
Indeed, indeed. What do you think about some of these topics then? I mean, if you're talking to somebody who wants to marry or isn't sure if they should marry a werewolf, you seem to have covered a lot of different topics. Now, on this week's episode for my show, I have a guy who came on and shared a story of a friend of his who had a grandfather who saw a Bigfoot stealing two of his sheep. And he actually shot at the Bigfoot and had an overwhelming sense of fear. And I wanted to ask you, as somebody who's experienced with talking to these people, have you ever picked up anything where you're like, I certainly wouldn't do that? How would you react to, you know, seeing a Bigfoot stealing sheep? I mean, do you have any pearls of wisdom there for people to take with?
Well, you know, what he should have grabbed his camera instead of his gun, and he'd probably be a very wealthy man, right? He could have sold that sucker to the Weekly World News. Does that still exist?
Maybe, maybe not. I'm not exactly sure.
And hello, $10,000 in my bank account later. Thank you, camera. I would never shoot at a Bigfoot. I mean, what? How much does a couple of sheep cost? What is that? What is he at? Like $300? Like big whoop-de-whoop.
Right.
Also, what happens if he wings it? It turns on him. It's only been clipped. The gun jams. Now, that's a movie I would watch.
That's a problem. That's a problem.
That would be an excellent film. It's almost like Predator, you know, only it's Bigfoot coming after an old farmer. I would leave have a certain number of sheep that you leave to the Bigfoot as an ancient human would make a sacrifice to the gods.
That makes sense. I mean, if you get more sheep than you need, then there's always sheep there for the Bigfoot then.
But do the Bigfoot utilize the wool? That's the first place my brain went to. I mean, what need have they for wool? Or is it just only for meat, which is such a shame? But I think Sasquatch have been known to use every part of the animal, much like their Native American forebears.
Maybe it's to blend into the surrounding during the wintertime when the snow's on the ground. You know, maybe that's something there.
Perhaps a woolen hat.
There you go. You never know. I mean, do Bigfoot actually lose hair as they get older? Maybe they have a need for the hat.
Interesting. Interesting.
Now, I wanted to ask you about, have you ever heard of the Goat Man? Have you ever heard of anybody calling in about a Goat Man?
Now, I've heard of the Goat Man. I've read of the Goat Man. We've not had any callers. What can you tell me?
Well, I was hoping you could tell me because I'm not exactly sure what the Goat Man is. I wasn't sure if it was a Baphomet or something that was more sinister along the demonic lines. But again, on this week's show, I have a person coming on to talk about such things where he and his friend saw this looking like a half goat, half man creature. And they had some glow sticks outside this warehouse. They were doing paranormal investigations and it actually picked up their glow stick. And I just wasn't sure if you had any thoughts on Goat Man, whether it was more along the lines of a demonic Baphomet or if it was some kind of cryptid like a Bigfoot.
Or Chupacabra. So many excellent questions. Now, could the goat man be a satyr or a faun, as in from, you know, ancient Greek legend and mythology? Or is said goat man demonic? I think it has to do with creatures that cross over from the dark side. And I am guessing that the goat men, I don't know if there's multiple or if it's just one. I'm going to assume there's many. They may be scouts for the Dark Lord, for Satan himself.
That's a possibility. Now, have you heard of the Hollow Earth theory and stuff? Because maybe these creatures do come from the inner Earth.
Certainly. I don't know whether the Earth itself is hollow, but I don't understand why that simply couldn't be a portal from another dimension, from a dark dimension.
Yes. Portals is something that people talk about coming across in the woods and seeing, you know, things coming in and out and stuff. So I've never heard of a goat man coming in and out of a portal and stuff, but I'm sure the possibility is there for sure.
Now, what about the duck men at the highest levels of the government, half man, half duck?
That is new to me. That's mm-hmm. something that you've heard of?
I have. And I think after work hours, they put their bills back on. But if you're able to, you know, unbuckle their belt and drop their trousers, immediately you see giant white ruffly feathers on their bums.
That's interesting.
And these are people in housing and urban development and in the Defense Department, you know, Department of Education, IRS, highest levels.
Wow. So are they higher than the reptilian people? Because I heard about the reptilians and stuff. I mean, are these duck men higher levels than that?
I think there's some kind of a, it's like a gang war. It's like the sharks and the jets, the duck men versus the reptilian people, but in government. So now what's the difference between a duck man and a furry? Someone who just likes to put on a rabbit costume and cuddle and go to Comic Cons.
I don't know. Maybe one day we'll come across one. We can ask him. I don't know though. It's very interesting.
That would be a good idea.
Yeah. Now
you're kind of like the paranormal Joe Rogan, aren't you?
Maybe. Maybe. I'm very uncomfortable being compared to somebody as great as him. But it'd be amazing if I was. So. I actually hope that, you know, I could just kind of follow in your footsteps and stuff.
Because there you go. Good answer. Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, I was grasping at straws there. But yes, because you have actually laid the groundwork for 32 years. Now,
32 years.
You brought up the Duckmen. Now, do you go into the conspiracies and things like that? Like, I don't know, MK Ultra or things like that when it comes to your program? Are you open to
MK Ultra is not a conspiracy. It's a fact. Celebrities at the highest level, Hollywood denizens were being dosed with LSD by the CIA. There's incontrovertible truth. This is absolutely backed up by facts. But there are other, you know, quote unquote conspiracies that some I struggle with. Viruses being created by 5G cell towers. I'm not saying no. I am always, as you know, Tony, open to all possibilities. But some of those, I have some questions. The jury's out.
What about then, if we're going to talk about conspiracies and such, and I actually, you know, I understand where you're coming from with some of these things, but UFOs, for the longest time, that was considered a conspiracy, but now we have our government coming out and saying that these things are real, and just next month they're setting to do some kind of disclosure. I mean, what are your thoughts on all this stuff?
Well, I'm so glad you brought that up, but this is a new day for all of us in the paranormal, supernatural fields. A new day has dawned where finally the government has stopped denying the incontrovertible evidence of unidentified flying objects, that they are not human. They seem to be manned. They seem to be operating on some kind of higher level intelligence and technology. And it's just a fact. It always has been. So this has obviously greatly buoyed my spirits and others as well. My question is, if the aliens, what are they doing here? Like, are they they just observing? Are they just waiting for World War III? Are they kind of learning about culture? Perhaps they're listening to this podcast right now. But what are they doing? And if so, wouldn't they have a technology to be able to observe humanity without showing that they're here?
That's a great
question. Couldn't they be hiding behind the moon with like an antenna and like peek out occasionally and see what's going on? Do they really need to be flying their pyramid or tic-tac shaped, you know, vessels, you know, over Cuba or over Mount Shasta? For Christ's sakes.
I never really thought about that, and that's a great question. Maybe there's an actual physical reason why they need to be here. Maybe they are considering revealing themselves to the world and kind of have to be here to do that. I would imagine a hologram would be not the way to go, because then people would say it's conspiracy, it's not real. But
so it's something more than simply observation, perhaps colonization.
Maybe they planted us here a long time ago and they are now getting ready to say daddy's home.
They're seeing how we're doing. Yes. And how are we doing, Tony? Not very good, frankly. Not very good at all.
That's very true. Well, listen, Mr. Terry Carnation, before I let you go, I wanted to ask you, because a lot of people have been emailing me asking me where to find your program, which yes. I don't understand why they haven't been able to find it. But if you could just clear...
Just open your computer and use Bing.
Exactly.
Or ask Jeeves.
Exactly. It's all there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But... It seems like a little bit of conspiracy to me that people can't find your program, as if somebody doesn't want it to be found. So if you could just...
Oh, it's ridiculous. Well, as you know, I'm a terrestrial radio, KSB, Los Angeles. That is a little bit difficult to find. But these kids these days, and I'm sure you're aware of this, what we used to call a radio show, they now just record and call a podcast. Why do they call it a podcast, Tony? Because it is available to download on your iPod. And... hence the word podcast. So that's what we've been doing with Dark Air with Terry Carnation, is recording it. It's a radio show. It's also a bit of an audio book, and it is a podcast. So, for instance, I have an iPod, second generation. I can have 147 songs stored on this thing.
That's
147. It's the size of a cigarillo. So just go to wherever podcasts are downloaded and just download it right onto your iPod, and then you can listen to it at any time.
Awesome. Well, I'm sure people are going to be absolutely thrilled now that they know exactly where to find your program.
Indeed. Indeed. Tony, I wish you the very best with your show. This has been a wonderful confession. I actually was going to I thought this was a Catholic podcast. I was going to be confessing some of my darker crimes, but
hey, if you want to go ahead and do that, we can do that. That's fine with me. Or maybe another time.
I killed my cousin Walter when I was 7.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know if that's the exact confession we're looking for. That there might be liabilities involved.
We were playing with a sit-in, ride-in lawnmower, and I backed into him and shredded his leg, and he bled to death in front of my eyes.
Were you... So it was an accident. It's okay. It's all right.
It was an accident, but the screams that preceded this event were just us... it was just horseplay. I swear it was horseplay. It was not an argument. We were not fighting. And when I was shouting at him, "You deserve to die, Walter," we were playing a spy game. So, do you have anything for, do you have any retribution for me? Do you have any?
I really think you might have had the program confused with a different type of program. I don't.
Oh, it just feels so good to get that off my chest. Oh, finally.
Well, I'm glad I was able to help you with that, really. But
do you forgive me, Tony?
Yeah. Yeah.
Does Joe Rogan forgive me?
Yeah. Yeah, we're all good here, sir. We're all good here.
Excellent.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I feel 20 pounds lighter, which I could stand to lose a few. And thank you so much. And it was nice talking about the paranormal with you as well. So win-win, double bonus.
Win-win. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you for having me.
That got awkward.
Yep.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to The Confessionals. I am your host, Tony Merkel. Thank you for being here. If you've had an encounter or a story you'd like to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com. Hit the contact section and you can reach me that way as well. Either way works for me, just get a hold of me. And if you want more shows every week on Thursdays, we release a bonus show to members only on the website. So if that interests you and you want more of the show, just go to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button and become a member today. And also, if you want to prepare, go ahead and prepare with theconfessionals.com. That's prepare with theconfessionals.com. There you can get yourself emergency supply food that will last up to 25 years on the shelf. And right now, friends, we're talking about a lot of hyperinflation going on, and people are a little concerned about where that could lead. So make sure you and your family are prepared with the food that you guys need for a long stay at home, possibly. That's prepare with theconfessionals.com. Now, today we have Jamal coming on the show, and Jamal was on the show before, and he shared a lot of his experiences from the Native American perspective with the Skinwalker and his experiences with such entities. And today he's back to talk about Bigfoot and Goatman. These are jaw-dropping stories. I'm really glad Jamal is here to share them with you. So let's get to Jamal right now. All right, today we got a returning guest to the show. We have Jamal. Jamal, how you doing, man?
Good. How you doing, Tony?
I'm doing good, man. So, long time no talk, right? No, actually, it's been about a month for us. Now,
just about a month, yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be a month for everybody else. I have no idea when these two interviews are going to be aired and all that stuff. But, dude, man, the first interview that I did with you impressed me a lot, and I had to have you back on. I think, if I remember correctly, you and I scheduled it right there after we were done recording, right?
Yeah. Right after the interview was done, which was surprising me. So,
yeah,
great.
I mean, there was no, all right, reach out to Lindsay and she'll get a schedule. I'm like, let's get it done now. So, you know, by the time everybody's hearing this interview, they had heard the first one. So hopefully everybody enjoyed the first one, because they're going to get more of you today. But listen, we're going to talk about a lot of different topics today, or at least we're going to go through as many topics as we can today, just to give the audience a brief outlook as to what we're still going to be talking about with you. I have a list here: aliens, Bigfoot, little people, goat men, ghost boy, and levitating witch. And I'm sure you might sprinkle some other stuff in there too. So, Jamal, man, I'm really excited about talking to you. Let's start off with the Bigfoot stuff, man. Talk to me. What do you got?
Okay, so I just want to say thank you for having me on the show a second time. It's an honor. I'll get right into it. All right, so we'll start off with the Bigfoot stories that I have. So, you know, I've always been a believer in Bigfoot. That's just kind of the person I am. I'm pretty open-minded. But what really got me started on Bigfoot is a story that my friend, and this is the same friend from the first interview we did. We tend to, we're into the same thing. So every story he has, he tells me, and every story I have, I tell him. But this is a story of his grandfather, a lot of Native Americans, you know, they take care of sheep, and usually like during the summer times they're in the mountains, and then when it's cold they come down from the mountains, so they usually have like two homes, so they're always going back and forth between them. But this story takes place in the summertime, it takes place in the summertime, and my friend's grandfather just got done taking his sheep up to the mountain, and it's he's heard things before, but he doesn't really pay too much mind to it. But I guess this one time, when he was up there during the summertime, he was asleep. And this is probably around maybe 9 or 10 p.m. So it's pretty dark. And usually the elderlies around here, they like to go to sleep early, get up early. It's just kind of how it is. But he was asleep, and it's just him. He has a gun, and he has a few sheep that he tends to. So he's asleep. He hears like his sheep, like something's happening. There's some kind of commotion going on. So he hears his sheep like yelling. So he doesn't know what's going on. So he gets up, he puts his shoes on, gets his jacket. He walks outside with his gun to see what's going on. And right now he's kind of just like on his porch, and it's a clear night. The moon's shining, so it's pretty lit, and his sheep corral is not that far from his house. And he hears them yelling, and he's kind of confused. And when he puts his glasses on, and he kind of like is taking a closer look out there to see what's going on, because maybe he's sneaking, maybe like a bear or something, bobcat or something, some kind of wild animal might be there with his sheep or something. So he gets a little closer, and he maybe gets maybe a couple of feet from his house, and he sees something stand up, and it's like it's huge, the way my friend described it. The way his grandfather described it, it was like it was tall, and it was had very like broad shoulders, and it was probably around maybe eight and a half, 9 feet tall. It was pretty big. So he's just standing there staring at this thing, and this Bigfoot or Sasquatch grabs two of his grandfather's sheep and kind of just like chucks them over both his shoulders, and he's just walking away. And what my friend's grandfather did in that moment was he was just frozen. He didn't know like what to do. He couldn't believe what he was seeing. And so the only thing he could think of was to shoot in the direction of the Sasquatch to try to get it to drop his sheep. So he aims the rifle down. I don't think he intentionally wanted to shoot it, but he did shoot in its general direction. And when it fired, he said this thing just, it stopped like where it was, it stopped in its path, and it turned around, and it looked at him. And it just like, just stared at him. And that's all he said, is it just stared at him like it was like angry. And he kind of got this weird like feeling like the thing was like, he felt like the thing was telling him, not like telepathically, but it's just a feeling he got, like I said, you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Like, so he just lowered his gun, and he kind of just like started backing away into his house. And then the Sasquatch just slowly turns back into the direction he was heading, and then he just starts walking away with both the sheep on his shoulders, and he's just like casually just walking away from the corral. And like his friend's grandfather goes back into his house, and he's just like awake for the rest of the night until morning comes, and he didn't really know what to do. So I guess he kind of just started like getting his sheep together, got on his horse, and made his way back down to the, back to his house out of the mountains. And I think he spent the rest of the summer, away from the mountains, because he didn't want to deal with any of that. So he was kind of scared, I guess, in a way. And this, I think this happened like in the early 2000s, somewhere around there. So it was, so when I heard that story, I was kind of just like, whoa, that's pretty cool. And then also there was, this same friend, it's his aunt, his uncle, and his cousins, in the mountains. This is all on the reservation, by the way. I should have mentioned that earlier, but it's on the reservation. It's on a mountain called Cheshka Mountain. It's a pretty long stretch of mountain. It's not huge, but it's there. It kind of divides, kind of weird, it's kind of funny. It divides New Mexico from Arizona, kind of. But I guess his aunt, uncle have a cabin in the woods that they like to spend time in whenever they can, usually during the summertime. And one time he did go up there. It was the first and only time he kind of went up there. But his aunt invited him out there to spend time with his cousins in the mountains, and he was up for it. So he goes into the mountains, and they arrive at the cabin. Everything's pretty normal and nothing out of the ordinary. And when like it starts getting dark, probably around 8:30, they start telling them to get inside, and that they're going to go ahead and start locking up the cabin. And he was kind of confused. He didn't know what's going on. He thought it was kind of strange because, I think he wanted to kind of hang out at night and just hang out with his cousins. But his aunt and uncle told them to all come inside. So they did. And I guess his cousins were, you know, it's like a routine. Like whenever they go up there, it's something they always do. So they don't really like question it. So they're kind of used to it, but he's kind of just like, my friend's just kind of like, I don't know what's going on. And then they get everything locked up and they have these like weird, like blackout, curtains that they put over the windows. On the outside. So they do that. And he was just like, this is kind of weird. What is going on here? And then the inside, they have these, wooden boards that they kind of just put up against the window. And then they have these, locks that they put on the doors on the inside, like a few of them. And then, they have a generator up there. So they turn that off. And there's only one light source coming from a lamp, and it's like a very dim kind of a light. So again, my friend's just like, this is kind of weird. Like, I don't know what's going on here. So, when it's probably like around 9:15, and he gets a little curious. So he asks his, aunt and uncle, like, yo, like, what's going on? Why are you guys, doing this? Kind of weird. And they just told him that he'll know, in a bit, but they just tell him that, you know, be quiet, try not to make too much noise. Don't move around too much. Just lay down and be quiet. And so he was kind of confused, but you know, he's their guest. So he kind of just like, okay, I'll do that. And then around like 9:30, he's laying down, he's on the floor, he's sleeping on the floor. Him and his cousins are sleeping in the room or in the living room, and his aunt and uncle are sleeping in their room. And it's dark, windows are kind of blocked out, doors are heavily locked. And he just hears like some really loud thumping outside. And he looks toward his cousins, and they're just like, one of them has like their finger over his mouth, just like, shh, be quiet, don't make too much noise.
Jeez.
And so he's confused, but he's starting to get a little scared at this point. He's like, what's going on? I don't know. So it's his cousins are just like, you just gotta be quiet. And then he hears the thumping getting louder and louder. Like it's coming toward his cousin's cabin. And then he hears like something like right outside the door. And it's kind of just like feeling like around the door. Like it's, I don't know if it's like just curious, or it's trying to get in. But it's there for maybe a couple of seconds, and then he says he starts hearing the thumping, like walk around the house, go toward the windows, and then he hears something like a noise, like something breaking, and I guess this thing pulled that blackout curtain thing off the outside of the cabin, and that kind of just went on for about 30-45 minutes. And my friend's just scared, and his cousins are just like, you just gotta be quiet, man. Just don't make any noise. Like, and then 30-40 minutes pass, and this thing, he just hears it like walking away slowly. And he before it walked away, he heard like this thing was like kind of like frustrated or something. Like, I think it was like curious. It wanted to see what was happening in this cabin. And I guess it's not the first time it's happened. Hence why they had kind of had everything like boarded up, everybody indoors before it got too dark and everything locked up. But he kind of heard like some like huffing or something. And around like 10:30, 11, he's still awake. He's scared. He doesn't know what is happening. And he's looking at his cousin. And then they kind of start talking a little normal. They're no longer whispering. And they were just like, yeah, like, it's like, it's like, oh, sorry, this happens a lot when we're up here. You just got to be quiet and let it do its thing, and then we're good. And he's just like, what is that? And his cousin's just like, oh, it's a Sasquatch. It's a Bigfoot. And there was like, and so they were just like kind of just going back and forth talking about it all night. And they eventually he falls asleep. Because his cousins fall asleep first, and he's kind of just like bored there. And he's like kind of thinking like, well, if they can fall asleep with this thing outside, then I'm pretty sure I'm fine. So he falls asleep. Come morning, he asks his uncle and auntie about them, and they kind of just said the same thing his cousin said. And he's like, yeah, it's a Bigfoot. It happens more often than we'd like, but we were prepared for it. And I see. He was kind of scared, so he just wanted to go home. So they were like, all right, well, we'll take you home. And that was his weekend trip with his cousins. And when he told me that story, I was just like, whoa, that is cool. Like, do you mind if your aunt and uncle invite me out there? I kind of want to experience this myself. I want to see this. But yeah, I guess he kind of just kind of like backed away from his aunt and uncle, that part, that side of his family. He kind of just like kind of stayed away from them. He didn't want to go back up to the mountains anymore with them. So yeah, that was pretty pretty cool experience that he had. And this was kind of like added to my belief. Like, I believe even more now that Bigfoot is real. And this one's kind of like my own personal story. Like, so when it happened, I didn't really think too much of it. I kind of forgot about it for a little bit, but like, I think like a year or two ago, I kind of like gave it some thought, because I was just listening to your podcast, and I was also listening to Sasquatch Chronicles. And it kind of triggered this memory. I mean, it's always been there, but like the scary side of, or the weird side of that story, it kind of like came back. And because like, I was like trying to remember, like, why did I rush out of that area so fast? I can't remember. And then when I started hearing your podcast, Sasquatch Chronicles, it kind of like triggered it. It's like, oh, that's why I got out of that area so fast. But basically, when I was younger, my stepfather had a four-wheeler, and I would always, like, every chance I would get, I'd get on it and go for a ride. And this is out on the reservation. And this was probably, I think we just got out of school, and my sister So now I were home alone. So I was like, hey, I'm going to go for a ride on the four wheeler. I'll be back later. And then my younger sister, who's a year younger than me, was like, hey, I want to go with you. Like, I want to go for a ride. And I was like, all right, let's go. So we go out back, my parents' house, start up the four wheeler. And it's about like 7:30. My parents aren't back yet. I'm pretty sure they're probably working late that day. And we go for a ride and we, I'm not good with directions. Say south, we go south, probably about half a mile. We have to ride on the road for a little bit. Then we get off a little trail and that's the trail I took. And it heads to a little ditch. A lot of people kind of use it. If they have like motorcycles or four wheelers or something, they kind of just hang out there. So I was like, okay, we'll go there. There's some pretty cool like hills we can ride up or something. So we go there, we get there, and we're kind of just like going up and down the hills in that area. You know, just being kids, hanging out, having fun. And then like I stopped because my sister was like, yeah, can I drive it? And I was like, I'm not sure. I was like, all right, fine. And like, I left the engine on, I was getting ready to get off and we were at the bottom of this ditch. And I kind of like, I'm just looking around cause I get this weird feeling like something's watching me. And that's one feeling that confuses me a lot when people get the feeling that something's watching them. That's something I got. So I was looking around and, around a corner, there's something standing there. So the ditch is kind of like it curves and like it curved to the right and we're at the bottom and my sister's getting ready to get off. And I'm just looking in this direction because I have a feeling there's something here watching me. And I'm just staring. And this thing it's big. It's like it's covered in fur. It was a very dark brown, maybe black color. And it's just like slowly like peeks out around the corner with its hands on the really steep hill. And it's just like looking at us and I'm like, my eyes are wide open. And I'm like, oh my God, what is that? What is that? And so when I tell my sister, like, hey, do you see that? Can you see this? And she looks up and she starts screaming. And I just tell her to hang on. And when my sister, like, puts her arm around me, I just take off on the four wheeler. I turn around as quickly as I can. And I started going up this hill because, I was kind of scared. Like, I didn't know what that was. When I turned to look back, it's kind of just like barely peeking out. Looking at us, and I just turned back straight, looked back forward, and I'm out of there. And for the longest time, I couldn't remember like the details of it. I just knew it was big, it was furry, and it was very dark, and it was just staring at us. And I think it was just like curious, like what are these guys doing here? Because I have heard stories from friends and family, like the Sasquatch, Bigfoot, like to use these ditches to like go in between places because it's low. Vehicles can't see them when they're driving by. And there's these tunnels throughout the area that they can just kind of take cover in. So I'm pretty sure, I'm positive I might have saw a Sasquatch then. If not, maybe a Dogman. I'm not sure. Yeah, well, the Dogman thing is kind of new to me. I've always thought of these things as like werewolves or something.
So the Dogman Bigfoot phenomenon, would you rather have it be a Bigfoot or a Dogman?
I would rather have it be a Bigfoot because that's what I kind of grown up on. And the Dogman thing is pretty new to me. I'm open-minded, but it's something that I can't really wrap my head around, really. It's a little weird.
I think it's funny. You're like, I'm open-minded, but last show we talked about Skinwalker. Now we're talking about Bigfoot, Little People, Goatman, Ghost Boy, Aliens. And you're like, I'm open-minded.
Yeah. I mean, like, werewolves, I've seen them in movies, but like in real life, I've never actually like heard stories about it.
Yeah.
The reason why I would say it might be a dogman or a werewolf is because its mouth area was like kind of elongated a little bit, not too much. And when I heard your podcast, Sasquatch Chronicles, talking about dogman, describing it, I was like, I have no idea. Like, I was pretty certain it was a Sasquatch, but I might be wrong. It might be a dogman or werewolf or something. I don't know. It's pretty weird. Very confusing.
Yeah, well, I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, oh, no, you're good.
I mean, these categories are definitely confusing. I mean, it's hard to make sense as to what's what. It's hard to understand what Sasquatch is, Bigfoot, or any of these other topics and stuff. What we do know is that people are seeing this stuff out there, and there's more than one person seeing this stuff. I mean, there's lots and lots of people. So from somebody who hasn't seen any of these things, that's why I go forward with it, because I start thinking, man, these things got to be real if everybody's seeing them.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, those are the few Sasquatch stories that I have that kind of stand out.
Well, let me ask you real quick, your friend here.
Yeah.
Now he has this experience in his cousin's home, and mm-hmm. the whole family's just like, yeah, it's Sasquatch, we prefer them not to come around, but they come around. He says that he hasn't gone back, he doesn't go back there anymore. Is it that like he feels it, I'm assuming it's the area, not the family, right? That's what I'm trying to ask.
Yeah, it's the area, because there's like so many, like, so I will say this, the mountains, especially the mountains, but pretty much all over the reservation, there's a lot of weird stuff that goes on out there. And I think that was just like, it was too close of a chance that he was comfortable with. So he was just like, he didn't want to do it again. He didn't want to experience that again. Yeah, because like I think he's interested in this stuff, but he might be a little like kind of scared to find it. Because and then in the previous interview, I was telling about the weird humanoid thing toward the end, where we were on top of a daycare, and I wanted to go down because I wanted to get a closer look at this thing, and my friend, he didn't want to go down. He didn't want to mess with that. So yeah, I don't know. Ooh, but yeah. And then it's probably like 2013, 14, but I guess there's like a huge hype about a Sasquatch footprints that were found up in those mountains, or like down below the mountains, not too far from where my sister's ex lives. I guess his father is like a ranger, and he was in charge of that case to figure out what this thing was, but apparently someone found Sasquatch footprints. It was in the newspaper and everything. People were talking about it where I work, and I guess nothing came of it. I think they just kind of let it go, and that was kind of it.
Yeah, it's interesting when that kind of stuff pops up in the news, and you know, they make a big stink about it, because footprints are, they're interesting, and you know, it's tangible evidence that something either really big was there, or somebody was trying to make you think something was really big there. But it's that tangible evidence that, you know, the skeptics especially are looking for. They're just like, if it's out there, I gotta believe it by, you know, the evidence, the whatever it leaves behind, or seeing it myself. But you know, there's so much stuff going on with Bigfoot and these sightings that, I mean, if they really wanted to focus in on the topic, they'd have a treasure trove of things to write about, because footprints is the least of it, you know?
yeah, agreed. Oh, yeah. Cool, but yeah, those are my the few Sasquatch stories that I have. I mean, like, any chance I get to talk to anybody about this, hear their stories or stories they've heard, I will, you know, listen and tell them my stories, exchange stories. For me, I like building up a collection of whatever, like, paranormal, supernatural, weird stories that people have, and just kind of take that and add it to my little story inventory so I can tell it to other people later.
Well, all right. So those are your Sasquatch stories. Where do you want to go from here? I mean, we got plenty of topics to talk about. Would you like to talk about the, let's do this. Let's go Goatman, since that's kind of like the next type of cryptid on the list that actually isn't an alien. So,
oh yeah. Okay. So, Goatman. So this one's kind of new to me. When I say new, it's probably like I've known about it for like maybe 5-6 years. And so I've never heard of anything about like Goatman or anything. So it's like I seen the movie called Black Sheep, where it's like these weird like sheep that turn into like monsters or something, and I was like, oh, that's pretty interesting, that's pretty cool. But I never thought it was like an actual thing, like a half man, half goat kind of a creature, I guess you can say. But what kind of turned me onto the topic was what happened a couple years ago. The same friend that is Sasquatch and the Skinwalker, the same guy, same friend. It's me, it's him, and there's this girl that he likes. He has like a huge crush on her, and and then my idea was like, hey, why don't you invite her out to one of our hunts and see what kind of scary stuff we can find? And he's like, okay, let's do that. So that's just what. No, I've always been that kind of a person. Like, let's go look for something weird. So he invites her, and we decide to go in her vehicle since she has a truck. And at this time, my friend didn't have a vehicle, and I had a vehicle, but I don't like taking it off road. But she lives probably about an hour away. My friend's already at my parents' place. He was staying the weekend there, and she decides to drive all the way out to pick us up, and then we go to this area, which is this middle school that I used to go to. It's called Tohalina Community School. It's on the reservation. It's just below the Cheshka Mountain, and this is kind of where a lot of like stuff kind of happens. There's like a lot of stuff that happens here, like a whole lot. But anyways, so it's a fairly new building. I think it's our facility. I think they have like preschool all the way to eighth grade. And then that's sort of the only like classes they have. But it's, I think the new facilities have been there for maybe 50 years or so, 40, 50 years. Before that, there's a old school that's right next to it, but those are like, they look kind of just like housings and they're buildings, and those have been there for a long time. And those were like boarding schools and, for like Native Americans, not a happy place, which is why I think there's a lot of like negative energy there, because there's just so much stuff that went on there. But that might be a story for another time. But these buildings that we were in, where the old school was, is abandoned. So it's just this big area just full of like buildings that are just falling apart. And we decided to go there because we wanted to see something. We didn't know what we were looking for. We just went in there with an open mind. Like, oh, let's see what we find. Maybe we'll find something. Maybe we'll see a skinwalker. Maybe we'll see an alien. Maybe we'll see a Bigfoot. We'll see. So we get there, we pull up, and we're kind of just hanging out in my friend's crush's truck. I'll just call her my friend too. But we sat in her truck, were there for like 20 minutes and we were kind of just like exchanging scary stories, just trying to get us like in the mood, hyped up to go look for the stuff. She didn't have any scary stories to tell because I think she kind of tends to stay away from this stuff. But we tell her all of our experiences of stuff that kind of went on around there. We're like, yeah, well, let's get out. Let's go look in some of these houses. We're not supposed to be in these houses, but, we do it anyways. I think a lot of people do it because if you go inside these abandoned buildings, they're tagged up with a lot of graffiti.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. but there's these, abandoned buildings. There's like five. So when you're going toward the school, you go up to a curve and there's five buildings on the right side and there's, like another lane. That road's closed off, but another lane with six or seven buildings on each side that are abandoned. And then you go further down the road, then it's the new facility. It's probably like maybe half a mile long. And then there's the old school building, which is like this huge white house. It's like, I think it's where they did the majority of their classes and stuff, but it's like huge. It's abandoned. A lot of stories for that too, there too. Like a lot of paranormal ghost stories for that building too. But we pull up to the houses on the right side of the road. We're parked behind the building. There's a little like pathway. People will kind of just like go back there. So we park there. But we get out of the vehicle. We're walking around. We're seeing which houses are open. Because we don't really want to like, if it's already broken, then we'll go in. If it's pretty heavily boarded, we're not going to try to go in there. But there's like building in the middle, and the board, it had like boards on the window before, but this time it was removed. So there's just this glass like there, and the window was probably like maybe foot and a half by 2 feet high and like a foot and a half wide. So we're like, all right, let's go in this building. Let's see what's in here. And also I should mention, this is around like 10, 11 PM. We like to do this stuff at night because it's the best time to do it. So we go to this building, the board's gone, and we're like, okay, let's break the window. Let's see what's in this thing. So we broke the window. There's still glass on there. So, I was wearing a sweater. I took it off and I kind of just put it on the glass just so we don't cut ourselves. And then we jump in. Or I go in first, and then my friend comes in, and then his crush comes in. And we're all in that building. We're just kind of like looking around. We have like two flashlights, and we got these like glow sticks, like the weird. We got them from a place here called the Bunker. It's like they sell like a bunch of like surplus supplies or something, and they had these really huge glow sticks that are like really bright. So we got a couple of those. We cracked one, threw it on the ground, and it lit up the whole room. And there's like several rooms, and we're kind of just like looking around in them, seeing what we can find, just exploring. And then we hear something walking around outside, and we're kind of like, hey, everybody be quiet. Just listen. And we hear like something walking around. It sounded like hooves. And me, I'm trying to think logically here, like, or realistically here, and like, I might just be like some gears, like, I think we're fine. So we're like, okay, well, it might be like some gears. But it started like walking around the building that we were in. And we're kind of just like it's a very curious deer. Like, what is it doing? But it didn't sound like it was walking on four legs. It sounded like it was just two hooves on the ground, and the ground's pretty solid around there. And we hear like twigs breaking. And then we hear like some heavy breathing. And we're like, do deers do that? Do deers like heavy breathe? Like, I'm just, like asking my friend that, and he's like, I don't know. Like, I don't spend that much time around deers. I'm like, oh, well, like, it's kind of weird. Like, maybe we should just be quiet because I feel like something, I feel like that sounds deer outside. And we just, like, we're just silent. And my friend's standing close to his friend. And I'm just, like, standing there, like, all right, like, just silent for, like, maybe a minute. And we start to hear, like, a and I'm just like, what the? I don't think deers do that. It doesn't sound like a deer. And my friend's looking at the girl, and she's just like got her hand over her mouth, and she's like, I think she was like really terrified of what was happening. And then he's just kind of like got his arm around her, like, I'm just over there. Like, I mean, like in situations like this, I tend to make jokes just to try to lighten the mood. So I'm just like, hey man, like, you want to hold me too, man? I'm scared too. he's just looking at me. He's like, shut up. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Sorry. And we're just like quiet again for maybe another couple of seconds. And then we start hearing it like walk toward, like we hear it like on the right side of the building, right? We're faced toward the window that we were in. And on the right side, we hear it like walking in it. And we didn't want it to find the window that we came in from, because we didn't want it to block our only way out. So we look around really quick and we find the board. And I guess it was the board that was on the, like on the outside. So like we hurry up and like get to the window. We reach out, we grab it, we pull it in, and then we kind of just push it up against the window. And we're just like really quiet. My friend's in the with the girl, and I just got my hands pushed up against the board. And I'm just like, we're just like really quiet. And then we hear it like walk right next to the window, and it's standing there. I think it might have heard us. We're trying to be as quiet as possible, but obviously that's not going to happen. So it's standing there outside. We hear it breathing again. It's just making that noise that it made earlier. It's just, and I'm just like, oh God, this is like, I'm just thinking this in my head. Like, I hope it doesn't, like, it's like, please go away, please go away, please go away, please go away. And then like, it just gets quiet. And I'm not sure if it's still there. I didn't hear it walk off. So obviously I'm not going to move the board. And then we start hearing it like walk away from the window, and it sounds like it's going towards my friend's girl's truck. And then it just here like start fading away. And I think it's gone. Like, I looked toward my friend and it's like, hey man, do you want to get out of here? And he's like, yeah, let's go. So I slowly put the board down, and then I look out the window to see what's like, see if it's still there. And I'm just looking out the window for a couple seconds. And I kind of like glance toward my friend and I'm like, I think it's gone. Like, let's go. So I was the first one to go through. So I put my sweater back on the window. I crawl back through the window, and then, my sweater falls. So I went to go pick it up, and then I hear something. So like right behind me, I'm facing the window picking up my sweater, and I hear it behind me. I hear like a little twig break, and then I just hear that same thing, just like, oh, and I'm like, oh my God. I look back and I don't see anything. And like, I'm in shock. I'm scared. I don't know what to do or what's going on or what's going to happen. And so I look toward my friend slowly, because it's pretty dark. I mean, there's a bunch of trees everywhere, and it's cloudy, so I couldn't really see. So I just looked toward my friend, and I was like, hey, throw me a glow stick. And he was like, okay. I was like, break it, and then give it to me. So he does it. He breaks it, and he shakes the glow stick to, like, lighten it up. He hands it to me slowly, and then, like, as soon as he gives it to me, I grab it. I turn around and I just chuck this thing toward where I heard the sounds coming from. And it was between a tree and where my friend's crush's truck is parked. I chuck it toward there with no, like, I wasn't aiming or anything. I was just like, okay, I'm going to throw it here. So I threw it. And this thing, it was like maybe five and a half feet tall. And it was very, like, I mean, like brown, longish, curly hair. And it just jumps out from behind the tree and grabs the glow stick and then jumps in the back of my friend's girlfriend's truck, crush's truck. And as soon as I saw that, because, like, when I was looking, I threw it, I saw it grabbed it, and the glow stick was just gone. And I was, like, I screamed. I was like, oh, fuck. And I turned around really quick. I mean, I didn't care to put the sweater back on the glass. I just wanted to get away from this thing. So I turned around, and I just jumped through that little window. And, like, I got cuts on my arms. My pants got torn up from the glass. But at the moment, in the moment, I didn't feel it because I was just like, it was all that adrenaline that was kicking in. And as soon as I jumped through the window, I grabbed that board that we got and I turned around and I hurry up and pushed it against the window again. I was just like breathing really hard, but I was like trying to keep it like quiet as possible. But I was breathing like really hard. Like, my friend's like, what did you see? And I'm just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. and he's like, hey man, what did you see? And I was just like, dude, you took the fucking glow stick. And he's like, what? It's like, what is it? It's like, I have no idea, but it's standing on 2 feet and it just jumped out and took the glow stick. And he's just like, oh my God. And then his friend, his crush, the girl, she started like tearing up a little bit and he just kind of walks toward her, puts his arm around her. It's okay. We're like, if anything, we'll defend you. And I'm just like with a board against the window, I'm like shaking and still trying to catch my breath. And then, like, I started feeling like wet, like on my arm, and I was like, "Oh crap, I'm bleeding." And we're there for maybe, I'm gonna say 10, 15 minutes. Like a quarter of the way through that, I asked my friend, "I was like, hey man, can you hold the board up against the window?" And he's like, "Yeah." So he kind of like, we trade places, and I'm just like over there, and I'm like, crap, I'm bleeding. I didn't know what to do. So, like, I asked my friend, I was like, man, can you give me your shirt? And he was like, what? Like, yeah. I was like, I know you wear two shirts. Give me one of your shirts. And he was like, why? He's like, dude, I'm fucking bleeding here. And he's like, okay, fine. So I give me one of the shirt, and I kind of just wrap it around my arm a little bit. And once the 10, 15 minutes passed by, we don't hear anything. So we're maybe it's gone. Maybe he got bored of waiting for us. So he lowered the thing and he was like, all right, let's go. And I was like, okay, well, you go first. I'm not going to go first. So he goes and the girl gives him her keys. He unlocks it. And then he's just like looking around, keeping a lookout, making sure this thing doesn't come back. And then I help her through, and then I come through, and then we just like slowly make our way toward her truck because we don't want to make that much noise. I got in the back seat, she got in the driver, he got in the passenger, and we got in, she turned it on and we just left. And we kind of just like my friend's like, can you what did you see? Can you describe to me what you saw? And I was like, yeah, it looked like it was covered in fur. It was like a brownish color fur, and it had hooves. Like I could hear hooves on the ground. It didn't have feet, but it had like a person's hands. But it was covered in fur, and it just it grabbed the glow stick. And he's like, did you get a good look at the face? I'm like, no, dude. Like, I was just looking at the glow stick. And as soon as I saw the thing grab the glow stick and it kind of like ducked behind the truck, that's all I saw. I didn't really care to find out what it was. I just turned around as quickly as I could and got back in that building. He's like, what do you think it was? I'm just like standing there like, maybe a goat man or something, a sheep man or something. It might be that. He's like, I've never heard of that before. And I was like, I've never heard of that before either. I was like, I don't know what to think. It's just, and so she drops us off. She heads home. And me and my friend are just kind of going back and forth on this whole situation that just happened. And then I take a look at my cuts and they weren't that deep. But it was a lot of blood. So I had to, throw my friend's shirt in trash. And then, I guess a couple days later, it was back to a work week. I went to work and, I was talking to a couple of friends of mine about what happened over the weekend. And one of my friends from work was like, oh yeah, that sounds like a goat man. Like, it sounds like he saw a goat man or something. And I was like, a goat? Like, we didn't think that was an actual thing. Like, can you tell me more? It's like, oh yeah, there are people see them all over the reservation. Yeah. Because there's this like road between Burnham or between Newcomb and Shiprock, which is like on the reservation. There's like a place called Table Mesa, which is basically just this mesa. It's like flat all around it. And it's just this mesa, like right in the middle of it. And he's like, oh yeah, like a couple of me and my friends see like a goat, like this weird goat man thing on top of the mesa. And he just likes to watch people drive by. And I was like, yeah, he's like, he's harmless. He doesn't like, I think he's never heard stories of like this thing being like violent. Like, it's just a very curious creature. It's all it is. And I was like, I just looked at him, my friend, and I was like, well, the goat man stole my glow stick. I want my glow stick back. So, and that was a pretty like intense experience at the time. And I guess my stepdad, he saw a similar thing, and this was coming down the hill into the town that I live in now, coming off the reservation. He was probably a couple of weeks later from when this whole thing happened. He dropped me off from at work. And then he drives to work. It's easier that way, save time, save money on gas and stuff. So we usually ride to work together. But he drops me off and he's coming down that hill and he just like, he's looking on the side of the road. He's the only one there. And this is like 5:30 in the morning. About 5:30. And he sees this like thing on the side of the road. He's got his like lights on it. But it said it looked like it was like a really like huge like sheep or something with really long fur, and it was just like walking on the side of the road, and it looked, he's like it just looked like it was tired, and it was kind of like slowly wobbling, and when he got closer to it, he's kind of like staring at it, and he turns his high beam on, and as soon as he turns his high beam on, he said this thing kind of just like slowly looked toward him. And when he kind of got like a brief look at it, he was going probably like 55 at that point. And he got a really brief look at it. But from what he can describe, what he saw was it looked like it had long fur. It looked like the fur was white at one point, but it looked like maybe it was just dirty, like his fur was dirty or something. And its face was kind of elongated a little bit. He said he didn't see hands. He said maybe it had like his hands kind of like tucked into its like its chest or something. But he said he didn't see feet. He saw hooves and like it was hunched over and just covered in hair. And he saw like just like this, like the smallest little like horn horns on top of its head, kind of just like coming out of the fur. And it was just kind of like looking at my stepdad as he was driving by. He didn't see eyes because it looked like its fur was like covering its eyes a little bit. But he did see a mouth, and it was kind of like elongated. And when he passed it, he kind of looked in the rearview mirror, and he said it just like, I mean, as dark it was as it was, you could still see like it in the rearview mirror. And he's slowing down a little bit to get a better look at it, and it just like starts like turning to the right and starts making its way off the road. And when he told me about that, when he picked me up after work, I was like, I think you saw a goat man. I was like, I saw a goat man too a few weeks ago. And he's like, oh, I don't think it was a goat man. I might have just been tired, because he's one of those types that doesn't want to believe. Like, he'll see this stuff, but he doesn't want to believe it's actually something's actually there. Yeah. So those are my goat man experiences. Short, but
no, yeah. Listen, man. I mean, I was on the edge of my seat with that experience. I'm thinking to myself, my Lord. And here's the thing. I mean, you see this thing, it runs, it grabs the glow stick, jumps in the back of the truck. And then later on, I'm hearing you say, we're making our way to the truck. I'm like, are you crazy? Are you crazy? Like, yeah. Did you not know that it was back there or not? Or were you just taking your chances or what?
Yeah, we were just taking our chances. Like, it wasn't like in the back of the truck. It was like in the rear side of it. Like, the tree was between like a tree and the truck, and it just like jumped, grabbed the glow stick, and kind of just hid behind the truck. And like, it was like 10, 15 minutes went by. And I, like, nothing's happening. So we're like, maybe we should just go. Maybe now's our chance. Let's just get out of here. Cause we didn't want to get stuck in that building all night. And my friend, his crush at the time was like on the verge of tears. And I was feeling bad. And I was like, we should just get her out of here and we'll be fine. So we took our chances. I let my friend go first, because maybe he'll see it and he'll get a feel for what I just went through moments earlier. And then when he got closer, he was like slowly walking toward the truck, listening out. But he didn't hear anything, and he got a little, he's just like, all right, he's like, yeah, he's like, you guys come out. Let's like, let's go. And once we got out, we took off, and that was kind of like, it was relief. And when we were making our way back home, that's when the adrenaline kind of wore off, and I started to feel like the pain on my cuts on the side of my arm. Noticed my pants were all cut up, and I was like, oh crap, this sucks. But yeah, that was a pretty intense night too.
Yeah, it sounds
yeah,
like.
So
it.
That was,
I mean, geez, dude, I don't know what I would have done. I don't know what I would have done.
Yeah.
I think I might have camped out in the building all night, to be honest with you. I just seeing the thing going to the back of the truck, I'm like, nah, I ain't going out there till it's daylight. So we're hanging out here today.
Yeah. But I think that my friend's crush, her, the girl, she, I mean, that's a hell of a introduction to this kind of stuff. She was terrifying.
Yeah.
So I can all imagine what she was going through. But like, you know, like later on during that week, I did ask her about it. Like, hey, how are you feeling about, like this whole thing? Like, are you okay? And she was like, I don't want to talk about it. And I was like, all right, it's understandable. I get it. Cause we both worked, at the same facility. And then my friend, he kind of got the job there a year later. So we were all working there at some point.
Wow.
Ooh.
That's crazy. So yeah. Let me ask you, what do you think this goat man is? I mean, you saw it a little bit and, you know, you've been around and talked to people who've seen it. I mean, what's your gut? Cause I know you don't know what it is. None of us know what it is, but what's your gut tell you?
In my head, a goat man is kind of like the first thing I can kind of just go to, cause it makes sense, but it might be something else. It might just be, I don't know if it's something like, supernatural. I don't want to say it's like demonic or evil, because from what my friend told me, it's like, oh, it's just curious. It's never harmed anybody, which leads me to be like, it's not evil. Maybe it's just like, maybe it's just there. I don't know. Because for me, we live in a world where things just are. I mean, like, if I had an answer to everything, that'd be great. But like, honestly, it's just something that's there. And I don't think it's evil. But in some people's cases or stories, it might be. But for me, it was just really scary. Really scary experience.
Well, that's the show, everybody. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did enjoy it, please share the show with your friends. I don't care where or how you share the show. Just share the show if you enjoyed it. That would help me out a great deal in getting this show in front of more people. And go ahead and click the link in the description for our Discord if you want to join 24/7 chat, all things The Confessionals. And if you're looking for more content, I do have another podcast called Hammer Lane Legends that I do with my dad on a weekly basis. So all you got to do is look for it in any app. It's there. It'll pop up for you. You can listen to it. It's me and my dad talking to people about their crazy experiences in the transportation industry. It's a lot of fun, a lot of laughing. I know you'll enjoy it. And until next week, friends, stay safe, take care, and remember, the truth will set you free, but first it'll piss you off. Bye.
Searching light long, I'll immediate. I should have been taught. Sleepwalk through life, but being woke is an insult. They should have been caught. They want to flood it in fear by drowning us on the asphalt. We love the lows, but hate the highs.
Here's the other side of the sun.
With all this glow, it's hard to hide.
It's bright, it's bright.
We love the lows, but hate the highs.
Here's the other side of the sun.
With all this dark, it's hard to find.
It's bright, it's bright.
Masking from elites, got us attaching what is free. Now we're rationing our needs for our souls.
Yeah, we're not fasting from belief. A spell of sharpies, right the streets. Looting liabilities like it's gold.
Atomic number 79. Gucci, Prada, Jordan High. Sniff that line, it's on the house. Till your soul.
The ones that keep us locked for the felony time, or the ones that fund the dollars for the BLM sign. Y'all ain't really doing what y'all supposed to. Y'all just follow suit like the rest do. Oh, yeah.
We love the lows, but hate the highs.
Here's the other side of the sun.
With all this glow, it's hard to hide.
It's bright, it's bright.
We love the lows, but hate the highs.
Here's the other side of the sun.
With all this dark, it's hard to find.
It's bright. Is the other side of the sun. Is bright, is bright.
We love the lows, but hate the highs.
Is the other side of the sun.
The dark is dark, it's hard to find.
Is bright, is bright.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn.
and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.